You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are finishing off our punt mini-series talking about the punt strategies, that I don't like. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Make sure you guys are following me over there. I drop a lot of good fantasy value, especially once we get in the season when things are coming out hot and fast, and it's a bit quicker for me to send out a tweet than it is for me to set up a whole podcast and edit it and put up a video and things like that. So make sure you are following me, especially over on Twitter there, where I'll drop my real-time takes and reactions. But we are going to be talking, this is going to be the third and final podcast in this little mini-series talking about punting and punting strategies. Today, we're talking about punt strategies that I don't like. The ones that, I'm just not a big fan of. I've got a few reasons as to why I don't like them, why I don't think they work. You might disagree. You might think that some of these ones you can do and there's good value in them. But I'd love to hear that in the comments. Comment them down below. But for me, I'm just avoiding these guys. There's not as many. I think you can punt most things. So I'm a big believer in finding a way. But I think these ones are tough, and at the end, I've got one that I'm on the fence about. You might already have a good guess about what that is based on if you've watched the previous videos or listened to the previous podcast, what that one might be. And if you haven't already, please go and check them out. But let's get stuck into it. We're going to start with steals, punting steals. I find this a really challenging one because steals are something that everybody does. Everybody gets steals. And it's also spread out in fantasy drafts throughout the whole draft. You know, you could get a good steals player early in the draft. You can get a good steals player later in the draft. It's not necessarily like, say, for example, points or high free throw percentage volume. That is really hard to get later in the draft. You just can't find it. You can get guys who are good free throw shooters, but they don't get to the line enough for it to impact or save someone who's a bad free throw shooter early in the draft. Everyone scores, but you can't get someone who scores 20 points a night off the waiver wire. It's just not doable. You might be able to get someone who scores 10 or 12 or maybe even 15, but when you compare it to the elite guys in that category, it's just not close. So those categories you can definitely find only really early in the draft. And for that reason, if you punt them, you can get a lot of value because everyone else is trying to sort those guys out. If you're punting steals, then you're not really putting yourself in any particular advantage, especially early in drafts, because some of the best players don't get steals and you can get those steals later when the best players are off the draft. You might be able to get a Matisse Thybulle and get two steals a game. You know, that's something that you can, and that's one of the best players in the category, and you can get him 150, like last off your waiver wire, and he can be a streamer for that category. And I'd much rather do that than just forego the category altogether, just because, yeah, it's just something that doesn't correlate with anything else is the other thing I'll say. Like, bigs get steals, wings get steals, guards get steals. So like those other ones that we were talking before about pairing, so like a field goal percentage and a blocks or a free throw percentage and threes, you could say maybe assists and steals maybe pair nicely together, but even that, it's not 100% accurate, because there are a lot of guys. Robert Covington is a good example, who, you know, he gets a lot of steals, but he doesn't give you good assists. So it's something that doesn't fit nicely with a lot of these other guys. So it's something that I don't really like to punt. A good example of some guys, however, at the start of the draft that you might be tempted to punt steals in, player like Karl-Anthony Towns, a player like Joel Embiid, someone like a Jason Tatum. All these guys, you know, yes, some of them are giving you like a steal a game, but they're not elite in that category. Kevin Durant is another one who doesn't give you quite a steal a game. I wouldn't necessarily lock myself into punting that category, because, like you said, you could find that much later in the draft. And even the fact that that is their worst category, for a lot of them, it's not a huge negative. It's only maybe just slightly below par that, you know, you can easily make up on it. There's not, like we said before, in those free throws and field goal percentage categories, there's huge swings either way. There's usually not massive swings in steals. There's usually only the guys that are really, really good, and then the guys who are just like, eh, whatever. So there's less of an advantage to gaining by punting steals, in my opinion. So that's one of the ones that I don't really like, and for that reason, I almost value it more, because a lot of the categories, a lot of the punting strategies, especially if you're doing multi-category punts, steals is often the deciding factor. If you've got two teams, one team's a punt free throw percentage and punt threes build, one's a punt field goal percentage and a punt blocks build, you know, both teams are going to be competing in points, and they're both going to be competing in steals, right? This team, the field goal percentage team, is probably going to win threes. They're probably going to win free throw percentage. They're probably going to win assists. They're probably going to win, you know, maybe they might be a little bit more competitive in points, but steals is going to be the deciding factor. This team might win in rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, and turnovers. But again, steals is going to be the factor. So it is something that if a player doesn't provide me a lot of steals, I do take a good note of it, especially when I'm aware that it is a category that often defines or decides matchups in head-to-head leagues. So not a big fan of punting steals. The next one here that I've got that I don't like punting is rebounds. Similar to steals, everyone rebounds. Everyone in the NBA rebounds. Now, obviously, you've got players who rebound 14, 15 rebounds a game, and then you've got guys who rebound 2 or 3 times per game. And obviously, there's a decent difference in that. But again, if you look at the big swings in value, it's usually not found in rebounds. So in the first, let's look at the first two rounds of drafts last year, or the rankings from last year, the only real guys that are decent negatives are players like Trae Young. And then the next guy might be Tyrese Halliburton. That's really it. Like, even a Fred VanVleet gives you nearly 4 rebounds per game. You know, Chris Paul nearly gives you 4.5 rebounds per game. Sorry, Fred VanVleet gives you 4.5 rebounds per game. So nearly 5 rebounds per game. That's still decent, right? And you can recover that if you get a good rebounder on round 2 and 3. And maybe less so than steals, but you can find rebounds a little bit further down the draft than some of those other categories, like your free throw percentage and points. It is something that, you know, it later in the draft, you could get someone like a Mitchell Robinson, or you could get someone like a Clint Capella. Obviously, they have their issues, but it is something that you definitely can make up with, and you can even find those kind of things on the waiver wire. Like, I think Tristan Thompson was always the guy that you, oh, yep, let's go stream some rebounds, let's get 9 rebounds per game. He won't do anything else, but like, shit, I can sort my rebounds out if that's going to be a close matchup for me this week. So, yeah, rebounds, it's hard. It sometimes I'll throw it in there if I'm going with a very, very hard punt. I'm doing like four categories, and it's field goal percentage, it's blocks, it's turnovers. Rebounds will kind of be like that fourth one that I'll throw in there, but maybe, like I said before, it's a bit of a soft punt. It's a 50% weighting, because especially if there's another team out there doing something kind of similar to me, I'll take into account rebounds a little bit more so. That's the only kind of time where I will just completely ignore it and then go with that punt bigs kind of build. But even then, you've got to try and get, you need a center, right? You need some power forwards. So it can't hurt to have a look at getting a little bit of rebounds out of those positions, just to make sure that you can beat those other teams that might also be doing something similar as well. So those are probably just the main two categories that I'm really not a big fan of. And I don't often punt those categories at all. This next one, I'm on the fence about, and it's a good conversation. It's a good discussion that you guys can have in the comments below. Again, make sure you give the video a thumbs up, 5-star on Apple Podcasts, but assists. Now, I've seen a lot of people in the past say that assists is one of the best things to punt, and I can see the argument, right? I can see the argument. Assists are something that's very hard. It dries up very quickly. Like we were talking about before with points and free throw percentage, assists are hard to get. A little bit easier than those ones. A little bit easier. There are guys late in drafts that can get you good assists. Giddy, as a good example, D'Angelo Russell, Kyle Lowry might get you some good assists and be available later in drafts. Some of the guards, you know, maybe someone like a Jaden Ivey this year, although maybe not be a huge assist guy, but you get the point. It is something that you can find a little bit of on the waiver wire. You can stream it, kind of. It's a bit easier to stream that than a free throw percentage boost. A free throw percentage is so hard to change once your team is past round 4 or 5. But I think it. So there is a little bit of validity to that argument, but there also I push back on it a little bit. The other point that often people make is that early in the draft, a lot of the elite guards will go. Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, James Harden, Trae Young, Fred VanVleet, LaMelo Ball, Luka Doncic, Tyrese Halliburton, someone like a Darius Garland, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all these guys are gone in the first basically two rounds of the draft, okay? So you could say you don't get someone like, say you draft first off with someone like an Embiid or someone like... Maybe Carl Anthony Towns isn't the best example, but someone who doesn't give you an elite amount of assists, it does kind of make sense to go with a punt assist strategy. But like I said before, there are ways to make up that category later, but it's a bit of a balancing act. I guess it depends on, are you better off punting assists or perhaps are you better off punting something like points, for example. And then you can get someone like a Chris Paul in the third round who gives you 10 assists, but everyone's avoiding him because he's old and he doesn't score more than 14 points a game. You know, maybe you might be better off to do the points route than the assist route because whilst we said assists are hard to find, well, points are even harder. So to me, it just there often are just better ones than the assists for me. And the other thing that I will say is that because when you punt assists, you naturally get good at turnovers. Again, we discussed yesterday in the podcast or the last podcast that turnovers aren't necessarily an indicative of a player's value, in my opinion. I usually, even if I am punting assists, I will put turnovers to 50% weighting because it just doesn't give me the best idea of how to value a player because I could get someone who's averaging 12 minutes a game and he's going to have low-ass turnovers and that's going to be a big boost to his value versus someone who's actually out there getting more stats, getting more steals, rebounds, blocks, but he might be turning the ball over a bit more. To me, it's still worth giving that weighting of the assists at 50%, even though of turnovers 50%, even if I'm punting assists. I'll naturally be good in that category. But for me, it's kind of just like a one-for-one trade. So you're not really gaining anything by by being an assist because I don't value those turnovers as highly. Whereas, you know, if you're punting threes, your field goal percentage will come up. If you're punting field goal percentage, your threes might come up. So there's kind of like that relationship, whereas assists and turnovers come up, I'm just not as, I don't think that that's as indicative of value as some of the other ones. So for me, the best way that I like to go about it, if you are thinking about, you know, assists is something you don't necessarily want to be chasing at all costs. I like to use an assist to turnover ratio as a bit of a tiebreaker. So that boosts, again, players like a Chris Paul. It boosts players like a DeJounte Murray. It boosts players like a Tyrese Halliburton. These guys that are getting high volume assists, but their turnovers are not at like four a game. You know, someone like a Trae Young. Is a good example. Who's, yeah, he's elite in assists, but he's getting four turnovers a game. Compare that to someone like a Chris Paul, who's getting more assists and nearly half the amount of turnovers. So in that instance, I'll be competitive enough to beat the teams that haven't looked after their assists, but I'll also be competitive enough in my turnovers that those who spent those early rounds really trying to find those high assist guys at any cost, if it was to their field goal percentage or turnovers, that I can beat them in those kind of categories. So that's the way that I like to use it. Let me know what you think, though, because I think there is a decent argument to be had that assists can be a really strong punt, and it's something that I've seen teams have success in the past. In saying that, though, a lot of the best players in the NBA are guards right now. So, you might as well make the most of that and sort of build a team off that, in my opinion. So that'll do it for us today, guys. Nice short and sweet podcast to finish off this punting mini-series. But let us know if you have any other further questions about punting or any strategies that you wanted to try. Let us know if you disagree with anything. I'd like to have these conversations. Just make sure it's nice and civil in the comments below. But make sure give this one a big thumbs up. Again, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure you are subscribed and stay tuned for the next video. Until then, see you then. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.